gratitude is one of the most powerful things you can choose to do. Grateful is one of the most powerful things you can choose to be. You choose to be thankful. You choose to be grateful. You choose to speak and act like a person of gratitude. When you're thankful, when you have gratitude, you're walking in the very will of God. And all of us would say, I want to know what the will of God is. Well, today I'm going to tell you specifically right here at the beginning, when you are thankful, when you tap into gratitude and it becomes dynamic gratitude, you're walking in the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 16:17 and 18, I used this a couple weeks ago. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying, always be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. If you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, if you belong to Christ Jesus, it is His will for you to be thankful. It's not His will for you to be polite and say prayer at a meal. It's not His will for you to be polite and say thank you for giving when somebody gives you something or they open the door for you. That might be a part of gratitude, but it's a deeper part. It's a deeper thing within us that remembers our future, that recognizes our past at the cross. This is God's will is the imagery of this is God's requirement from you. God wants gratitude from you. God wants you to be thankful. In how many things? All things. Think about that. In all things, He wants you to be thankful. And do you think that God wants you to be thankful because He needs your gratitude? Because He's up there and his gratitude tank is kind of low. And when we get together on Sunday morning, it goes up. And then about Wednesday, it starts going down. So we have a midweek worship service and his gratitude tank fills back up. No, God is asking us to be grateful, to be people of to have a deep sense of gratitude for who He is and for what He's given us. But it's for us that He wants us to be grateful. He's not asking us to be grateful for His benefit. He's asking us to be grateful because He made us to be people of gratitude. So when we thank Him, He gets something from it that He doesn't need, but He gets something from us that we need to give to Him. We need to give Him our gratitude. Dynamic gratitude is rooted in an awareness of who God is, what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. It's rooted in the cross, dynamic gratitude is. It's, remember again, it's not being polite. It's not saying thank you when your mom gives you a meal. We try to teach our kids to say thank you and please and to be polite. It's not that kind of gratitude. That's just a surface level where you can have those words and have nothing grateful about you. You're just being polite. Dynamic gratitude is often counterintuitive because it goes opposite to what's going on. So something bad happens in life, and we find things to be thankful for, we're grateful for it. I was at somebody's home a few months ago, and we were talking about illness and being sick, and the conversation quickly went to, but man, look at what we get to live in a house, and we get to have insurance, and we get to have things, people to watch over us, and we're grateful for doctors, and we're grateful for prescription, and we're grateful for rest, and we're grateful for jobs that give us time off. There's a gratitude that comes in that. You're not, and God's not asking you or forcing you to be thankful for being sick, but He's asking you to be grateful for who He is and all that you have wrapped around that being sick. Dynamic gratitude is often opposite of what people are saying because it's connected to something. That dynamic gratitude starts in the heart and flows through the tips, the lips and your fingertips. So dynamic gratitude isn't just something you feel, it's something you act upon. You act upon it. You do something. You say something. So for me to feel thankful towards somebody and to keep it in is to have a present that I bought and wrapped and never give it out. It doesn't make any sense. So when I feel thankful, I do something about it. I feel thankful, so I do something about it to my God, to my Father, to my Savior. I feel thankful towards my wife. I say it and I act grateful towards her. Dynamic gratitude has action and words connected to it that we'll talk about later on. In the New and Old Testament, both, we see a lot of images and a lot of stories of dynamic gratitude. In the Old Testament is Naaman out of 2 Kings chapter 5, and we'll talk about that in the next couple weeks. 2 Kings chapter 5, if you want to read that story. And you'll see how Naaman showed his gratitude towards God, even though the person who brought about his healing wouldn't accept the gift. He was determined to give God something, and he did something pretty cool. But if you'll turn to Luke chapter 17, we'll start there. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 17. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. That "as they went" is important. They were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise up and go. Your faith has made you well." So I want you to think about that. Here's 10 lepers at a distance. They had to stay something about 6 feet away, so about from me to Linda. They couldn't get closer to anybody in the city, anybody anywhere, within 6 feet or so, 6 to 8 feet. They had to stay the distance. That was the law because they were considered unclean. They could be together, and they lived in colonies. So if you had leprosy, you would have to leave typically, and you would go live with a whole bunch of other people with leprosy. So a crowd of people around Jesus as he's walking. Everybody has to be at least 6 feet from the leper. So we don't know how far they were. They were far enough away that they had to shout out to be healed. They had to shout out for the master to have pity on them. So everybody around them heard them shouting out. And Jesus had to walk up to them and speak to them. We don't know if he came up. Doesn't say he touched them. And then he says, "Go examine yourself." Because the law was also that if you became healed, and nobody had been healed for hundreds of years of leprosy in Judaism at this point. For hundreds of years, nobody had been healed. So in faith, they had to start a journey that they had no hope or expectation except for the word of Jesus that they would be healed, that they would be changed. They started out with leprosy, and Jesus was saying, "When you get there, your leprosy will be gone." And we're asked a lot by Jesus to start journeys, to take steps, to do things while we're yet unclean, while we're yet broken, while we're yet not free. He asks us to step out and to move towards, in faith, obedience in Christ. So they had to begin a journey that in their present state they could never complete. They couldn't go to the priest. They couldn't show themselves to the priest unless they had been cleansed. So your healing, your freedom will most likely come after you take a step towards that freedom. And that's a principle that's a little bit difficult, but faith is always involved in our healing. Whether it's inner healing, healing of emotions, mental healing, physical healing, financial healing, or healing of your memories or your experiences or your past, it takes a step towards what is right and the one who is righteous. Think about this. How did they know that they were healed? Because they never got to the priest. How did they know they never had leprosy? Imagine you're walking along with 10 other lepers, 9 other lepers. All right? You left, there's a crowd, there's Jesus, you leave. You're walking along, you're disfigured. Because leprosy is like a fungus that you get that begins to deteriorate all your extremities, your nose, your ears, your fingers, your toes. It's a disease that when you fall asleep, you can't feel, and typically a lot of times rats, because they were living out a lot of times by garbage dumps, rats would begin to eat off your nose or your fingers, so you were deformed. It could wither your hand because it would begin to deform your bones, all parts of your elbows, your fingers. So they're walking along, and they've got to be like, "Where are we going? What are we doing?" And then one guy looks at the other guy and says, "Dude, your complexion looks amazing. Because their complexion would be ashen, their nose might be half off, their ears might be gone. They would be, it would look like they were like zombies almost. They would look all that gray and that ashen. I don't know if that's quite zombie. And he's like, really? Wow. And he's like, the guy that's pointing at him goes, look, your hands are, they're just smooth as can be. All your fingers are there. Your hands are wonderful. He's like, you're right, my hands are great. And they start looking at each, and they got to start feeling themselves and going, wait, my ears are here, because I don't think Jesus just like took away the leprosy and left them deformed. I don't think he just took away the leprosy, and I think the fingers grew back, the toes grew back. I think their bodies went back to normal. They've got to think that they were just like, oh my gosh, and they got really excited. All 10 of them got excited. 9 rush home, happy to tell their spouses, to tell their children, to tell their relatives, while only one returns to say thank you. And this, think about this, this leprous Samaritan was already an outcast among outcasts. The Samaritan, Jesus even calls him a foreigner, a stranger, someone who doesn't belong. But he's the one, it's highlighted several times, that he's the one that turns back. Often, in order to operate in dynamic gratitude, we have to leave the bunch we're with and thank Jesus. We have to leave the bunch we're with. The bunch we're traveling with, the bunch that we were with that we cry out and say, we need help, we have to leave them in order to be with Jesus. We have to rejoice in front of those who don't believe. So Jesus is with a crowd of people, obviously a mixture somewhat of Samaritans and Jews. And these 10 leave, one comes back. They're already struggling, the crowd that Jesus has told them to leave, the crowd is. The one comes back and begins praising and thanking Jesus. We have to turn back around, even in the middle of our healing, and thank God for what he's done for us and what he's doing for us. Thoughts of thankfulness have no power except the power to kind of deform your thinking. To always feel thankful and not express it is sickness to your body, is sickness to your mind, is bad for your emotions. We have to be expressing thankfulness to people. Yes, to God, definitely. So how are you expressing your thankfulness with your words throughout your week to God? The one that you say saved your soul. The one that you say is your master, your savior, your Lord, your father, your eternal love that has given you an eternal gift that you'll be with into eternity. How are you here on earth this week going to praise God, to thank God? And remember, the 10 lepers are at a distance. I think they're doing this, Jesus. Well, they don't say Jesus, they say Master. They start yelling at him all together in unison, 10 people all yelling together, raising their voices, asking for healing in verse 13. Yet only one of them returns to raise his voice with thankfulness. So often, we're willing to cry out, God help me, God save me, God I need you. I need a new car, I need a new house, I need a new job, I need new friends, I need to get rid of bitterness, I need to get rid of unforgiveness, I need to get rid of depression. We say all of these things, and we talk to everybody about it, don't we? Well, my marriage just isn't that good, well, this isn't that good, and we talk about it, and as soon as something shifts, we just take it for granted, and we walk away with it, and we enjoy what shifted without walking in dynamic gratitude, without being thankful to God. Now imagine the Samaritan turning around, even at a distance, he said, I need help. I think he comes back, and as he sees Jesus, I think he starts thanking him right there in a loud voice, and he comes up to him and falls at his feet, thanking him the entire time. What do you think it sounded like? It's the same sound that we're supposed to make in thanking him and remembering our salvation and remembering our sonship and our daughtership and remembering that we're no longer beggars or slaves or servants, but we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Jesus, you're amazing. Jesus, you healed me. You made it possible for me to enter back into my life, to live free and full. I get to go see my wife. I get to go see my kids. I get to go live within my community once again and go into the house of the Lord with everybody else. Were the other 9 ungrateful? I've heard a lot that the other 9 were ungrateful. I don't think so. I don't think when Jesus does something for you, you're ungrateful. I think you're happy, but I think we get carried away to just go out and live out that blessing, to run back home, to get back in the community without recognizing and thanking and being grateful to the Lord. They've got to have been thrilled. 10 guys jumping up and down, making happy. I mean, just woohoo! Just like the Texans won the Super Bowl. The whole town, they went nuts. Dynamic gratitude is thankfulness that's expressed. It's got to be expressed. It's expressed in word and in deed. It's never enough to be thankful in our hearts alone. I'm going to repeat that. It's never enough for us to be thankful in our hearts alone. We have to be thankful in word and in deed, and we have to be thankful in word and deed to God and word and deed to others. Because to be grateful to God without showing gratitude to others is to say that God hasn't worked through anybody else except for me. We're going to learn more about action, about the Naaman story, which is really amazing. So that's what dynamic gratitude is. It's an expression of a heartfelt condition of the joy of our salvation expressed. And it's not meant to just be expressed on Sunday morning where we sing songs. And a lot of us even struggle just to sing songs and follow along in four songs. The four songs of gratitude and expression and worship and thankfulness and commitment and conversation with God, with a group of people that we're going to spend in eternity, let alone express gratitude in private out loud in our rooms or in our car, because there's somewhat of an awkwardness for us to talk to God in a normal tone, in a normal language. But if He's ever present, if He's always here, if He's kind to me and good to me and loving to me, then I have conversation with them that are thankful. That's what dynamic gratitude is. So I give of my time, I give of my talent, I give of my my finances to the spreading of the gospel, to the helping of the needy, to the expansion of freedom and the expansion of the kingdom. So that's dynamic gratitude. That's a gratitude that's acted out. So why do you want dynamic gratitude? Now we know it's the will of God, but why do you want dynamic gratitude? It's really simple, because it heals you at another level. So dynamic gratitude is something specific that we act out, but it does something for us, and this is why you want to catch on this and to get on this. It begins to heal you at a different level. Let's look at Luke 17, 19. Or 17, 17. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, he's on the ground, thanking him, showing gratitude, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." This is separate than "you were healed of leprosy." This is separate than "you were healed of leprosy." He was already made well. He was already made well. He's been made well at a different level, another deeper level, a spiritual level of healing. Gratitude opens your eyes to fuller potential and possibility of what God wants to do in you. You can thank God that I'm no longer sick, but when you begin to thank Him, you begin to thank Him out loud with an expression, with action, something deeper comes upon you, something deeper comes within you. Gratitude opens your eyes to another level of the kingdom, another level of reality, of truth, and to the very presence of God. None of those other 9 were at the feet of Jesus. They were always at a distance from Jesus. And most of us spend our lives at quite a distance from Jesus, saying, "Master, Jesus, I need your help." Few of us rush up to Him and get at His feet and express gratitude. So dynamic gratitude heals you. It shifts something in you. It literally will change your mind about your situation. It will literally change your emotions about your marriage, your finances. Did you know that Jesus can heal you, yet not save you? Because you've asked for healing, but not for salvation? Did you know that Jesus can answer something for you, but never ever actually touch the really deep thing that you need? Because He wants you to invite Him, He wants you to ask. Dynamic gratitude does something for us. It helps us see. So when I thank God, it's say I get a, we're driving a new car. It's my sister's car because we had a birthday party, so we needed more seats. We only have 5 seats. We both have cars that have 5 seats. We needed 4 or 5 not little kid seats, but the booster seats. So we're borrowing a car. Now, if that was my car, I'd be super thankful. It's really nice. I mean, Crecia has a nice car, but it's got almost 200,000 miles on it, and it's got a good engine. But when you get in that car, Crecia's like, when we go from my Kia to Crecia's Crecia's car, it's like, wow, that car's got a lot of power. When you go to Crecia's car, to my sister's car, it's got like a lot of power. You have to be careful. Super nice, good air conditioning, great panel up front compared to our 7 or 8 year old cars. And I would be thankful if somebody gave me that car, if I got that car. But see, thankfulness is I feel thankful and I say, thank you, Crecia, or thank you, Debbie, or thank you, God, and I end it there. But then if I take it and I say, thank you, God, for everything that came together for me to get that car. Thank you for the energy for me to work a job. Thank you for a job that pays me well. Thank you for friends that love me that would buy me a car. Thank you for the people who can manufacture something like that. Gratitude expands and opens up everything that brought it into play. Thank you for all the cars you've given me in my past, even that little British red convertible MGB that I bought for $1,300 and it was a piece of junk. Thank you for that car and every car thereafter that I've had. And it begins to see a whole bigger picture and does something for you in gratitude. We drive into our neighborhood, we've been there just at 7 years now, and we still say, thank you, God, for these streets, for these trees. Because we came with, for these sidewalks, we came from a neighborhood without sidewalks. We came with a neighborhood with no restrictions. You could paint a house pink if you wanted, or put big lions out at the end of your driveway. So we're like, thank you, God, for restrictions. It opens up something about you, and it does something within you. Now, our salvation doesn't necessarily depend on obedience or gratefulness, but I tell you what, our closeness and constant fellowship to God depends on our obedience to doing His will and being grateful. You want to get far away from God? You want to feel like you're a distance from God? Then don't be grateful. Don't be thankful. Colossians 2:7, I think, describes this this Samaritan leper. It says that you're supposed to be overflowing with gratitude. It's just coming around, coming above you. It's just out there that you're so thankful in the things around you. It's again that remembering the joy and the depth of your salvation. Now, I had a chance twice this week to experience how hard it is to have gratitude. So last Sunday, I spoke and I felt like God showed me something about thankfulness for Jim and Saudi. That even the pain that we're feeling that they're leaving, we should be thankful for, because it means that we love them and we've had friendship and we're going to miss them. And what a great thing that is. Well, when I dropped them off at the airport on Monday, and then we had the other Scottish couple, Cecil and Jennifer, with us till Thursday. I dropped them off on Thursday afternoon, and I was driving away. I could feel this, like, Jim and Saudi are gone. It didn't hit me on Monday, Tuesday, because I've been really, really busy leading up to them leaving, and then now on Thursday, and I just felt like a fatigue, just like a whoa, come upon me. And I was able to put into practice out loud in my car dynamic gratitude, of using words of gratefulness for friendships that I will actually miss. For both couples being here, both couples being gone. Both couples expressing gratitude that they've both found their way to go do something. Cecil and Jennifer, of course, going back to Scotland. Jim and Saudi starting in Panama, building a life there. But I had an opportunity to experience that. So I'm coming home, and I look on my calendar, and I was like, oh no, I'm at Victoria's school all day Friday. Lakewood Elementary watchdog from 8:10 in the morning till 4:10 in the afternoon. Out of school with kids in the lunchroom, in the pre-K room, and at the crosswalk. And I'm this, how do I get out of this? Oh my gosh, there's gotta be, maybe I'll get sick. Maybe there's gotta be a good reason I can use to not be a watchdog. Because watchdog fills up fast. It's watchdog is dad's on patrol, dad's on guard. It fills up fast. You have to get your name in. So they have a waiting list. I thought somebody on the waiting list would love to take my place. You all have been there before. When you volunteered to do something that looks exciting. And Victoria, of course, is pumped. It was her birthday and she's so excited. I do not want to be there. And I thought, what do I have to be thankful for? And I started listing out loud in my house, in my office at my house, all the things I had to be thankful for. Of course, the first being that I had a second grader, that I had the gift of God that I had in my house, a second grader that wants me there. and that I had a job I could have off that day and do that. And so I began to think of like a dozen or more things, and I had a great day. And don't get me wrong, it was still exhausting. I mean, I don't usually help kids open up their juice box anymore and throw plates away and stuff like that. And you know, you have 120 kids on the playground at the same time, and I'm not watching them. I'm just there, and just the noise volume. But dynamic gratitude will shift. It shifts something in you. I could have participated in that day and not had any fun. And I could have worked it really hard to have fun, to enjoy it. But if you'll start with dynamic gratitude, just an energizing gratitude that is shifting something in you, that's based in something deep, that God's given me the ability, the health to be there, something will change in that area. So dynamic gratitude clears up our hearing and our sight. It helps us to see the kingdom of God. It helps us to engage in things around us in completely different ways. So we know what dynamic gratitude is. We know why we want it. And I hope everybody here goes, I want some of that. I want to change the way I think. I want to change the way I look at life. And I want to start practicing dynamic gratitude. This third thing is, how do you get dynamic gratitude? You get dynamic gratitude the exact same way you get everything else of the kingdom. You ask for it. You ask for it. You can't muster it up. You ask for it. You ask God to show you where you have it. You ask God to show you where you don't have it. And we have to remember that when we ask for something, we're implying that we don't have it. I want dynamic gratitude when it comes to my marriage, to my finances, to my health. We're saying I don't have it when it comes to that area. So we get it the same way we get everything in the kingdom. We ask for it, and then in faith, we begin to practice it. So to get dynamic gratitude, you do what? You ask for it, and then in faith, you begin to act upon it or practice it. Asking for it and practicing it is your part. God will not do that for you. You have to ask for it. You have to want it. You can want to be grateful, but never ask for it. You can hope you're grateful, but never ask for it. You can be thankful and work it out on your own, but never ask Him to give it to you, and you still won't get that spiritual dynamic gratitude. God has done His part already in your situation. God's worked His part. And when you begin to, in faith, act on it. Act that God is doing something, that God's a good God. We'll learn a little bit later about what this is based on, but God is a good God. Regardless of what's going on in your body, in your marriage, in your mind, in your past, in your present, regardless of what you're afraid of in your future, God's a good God. That's where gratitude comes from. And when we believe that, and we ask Him to give us that gift of dynamic, deep gratitude, He's doing His part, and our part will activate within us something different, and it will be based on the completed work of Jesus Christ. So think about this. It says in chapter 17, verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. As he prayed, as he praised, as he thanked God, as he thanked Jesus, the leper was healed at a different level. In the process, it says literally in the going, they were cleansed. In the practice of dynamic gratitude, you will be healed at a different level. As you begin to obey Jesus and obey the requirement of the will of God to be thankful always, you will be healed. If you wait to obey, your healing will be held up. If you wait to obey, your healing will be held up. If you wait to be grateful until something actually happens that you can be grateful for, it will be held up. We're grateful before anything good actually happens in our life. We're grateful in the middle of all things at all times. So I'm going to ask you, as we close here, to commit to two things this week. The first thing is to ask for dynamic gratitude. I'm going to ask you to ask God for dynamic gratitude. And we're going to ask for it when I close in prayer. We're going to ask for it together. You can say, no, I don't want it. No, I don't want it. No, get it off of me. But I'm going to ask you to ask. I'm going to ask you to keep that in your mind, to ask for dynamic gratitude. Then I'm going to ask you to practice it. And there's some prayers in your bulletin here that are prayers of Jewish prayers, come from Judaism. And it gives you a good idea of some ways you can pray. And just they have a prayer for everything. It's an amazing thing. That might help you get started. But there's a guy, he's a Jewish guy named Viktor Frankl, and he survived the Nazi war camps. And everybody in his family, mom, dad, brothers, siblings, all first cousins, all aunts and uncles, all died, came out with no relatives. He wrote a book called The Meaning of Life. It's probably about 50 years old, maybe 60 years old now. And he talks about gratefulness, and he talks about being aware of being grateful. So here they are in a concentration camp, and he paints a picture of, I mean, think about that. You've lost 30 or 40% of your body weight. You have no ending of when you're going to get out of prison, of the concentration camp. Like in jail, at least, you know, in 3 years or in 6 years, I'll be out. There's a hope. There's no hope for them. There's no communication. They're working in the wintertime. They're working in Eastern Europe, not necessarily wintertime. They're threadbare clothing. They're eating hardly anything. They're sleeping in very poor conditions. People are dying and have died around them. People have got on trains and left and never to be heard of, and they have suspicion where they're going. Yet at the same time, he said when a bird would begin to sing, every one of them would stop. And they would be grateful for the music that bird was giving them. Isn't that amazing? The sun would rise, or the sun would set, they would stop, and they would remember, and they would thank God for the sunrise and the sunset, for the birds singing. They would see the trees blossoming or a flower blossoming, and they would stop. They would remember artwork and music that they haven't heard for all the years they've been in camp, and they would remember it. And that gratefulness that they felt for that small thing would carry them through their day. Dynamic gratitude, being thankful, is a powerful component. So I'm asking you to be grateful like Naaman was, grateful like this leper was, grateful even like Jesus himself was, grateful in his life, and grateful like Viktor Frankl was, to practice in the middle of your thoughts, in the middle of your disease, in the middle of your loneliness, in the middle of your depression, in the middle of your life, in the middle of everything great going on, to practice gratitude. When you start feeling depressed, choose dynamic gratitude. When you feel alone, choose dynamic gratitude. You can choose that.